Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerlux's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerlux partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxvip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Lou Half, and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I feel like we haven't done this for a while. Well, it's been 2 weeks, so I feel really armed with fresh recommendations. I hope everybody else does as well.
I do, actually. I've had a good binge this weekend.
Ooh, what have you watched?
I have been watching Unbelievable on Netflix. It is about somebody who is raped. And it's based on a true story, and it starts with the fact that nobody believes her, and that is the premise of the story. But then it transpires that there are more similar rapes that come up in the area, and it basically shows how two policemen deal with it and two female police officers deal with it, and it is incredibly frustrating. It is pretty hard to watch in places, but it will have you gripped until the end, and it sort of turns into a whodunit, but you know from the beginning that she has been raped. There's no spoilers.
And it's a drama.
Okay. And yeah, based on a true story, but all the names have been changed.
Is it set in today?
It's set in today. Okay. Yeah, exactly. The main part, Marie, is played by Caitlin Dever, and Toni Collette is in it as well. So it is well worth a watch if you're after. I mean, you will binge it straight away. I watched 2 episodes and Harry and I were like, oh,
how many
there's? There's 8. So it's pretty, ooh, it's like manageable. It's, yeah, something you can do.
Is it
in
British?
A weekend. No, it's American.
Okay.
But Toni Collette brings like so much life to it. The first 2 episodes, you're a bit like, oh God, how are we going to get through this? And then she comes in and you're just like, yes.
Okay. Worth watch.
Well worth watch, guys.
Great. What about you guys?
Mine was quite predictable, but Strictly Started.
I know. So happy it's back.
Yeah. And also it was on Saturday evening. It kind of felt a bit colder as well.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's really changed, hasn't it? We've gone into the season. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
Who do you think's good?
The guy that's taken Jamie Lang.
Oh my God. Yes. He was so good.
Kelvin Fletcher.
And also the guy from CBeebies. He was amazing too.
Yes. I thought that Mike Bushell.
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh my God, he was so good.
What did he do? A samba?
Yeah, he's brilliant, actually.
Yeah, good.
He's so likable.
Yes, and I also think that Michelle Visage with Giovanni is going to be amazing. Yeah. They always give him, it's like when he was with Debbie McGee, they give him like the older, really good woman. Yeah. She's just got so much sass. I think she's going to be great. I actually think, despite initial concerns that it was a bit more Z-list than normal, there were some pretty good people in the mix.
I think we say that every time. Mm. Also, I really loved the new judge.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, she was really, really good, actually. Like you guys as well, I was a bit like, oh, I'm just not sure about the celebrities. Like, I think that's why I get so excited, because you're looking forward to seeing how these people who you see in the public eye are going to be dancing. And then obviously it turns way more into actually the dancing, and I love watching that. But some of the people, I was like, I don't understand how you are on it. Michelle Visage. Like, she's not part of British TV.
I agree.
But she is. Well, no, she hasn't been. But RuPaul's Drag Race, on which she is a judge, is about to start on BBC Three next week. And she's a judge on that.
With those judges?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the beginning. It's a quite clever way, really, to give that a bit of publicity.
Fine. Okay.
I'm guessing,
that makes more sense.
The other one that I think is one to watch is James Cracknell, because he's obviously...
I know. I thought he was terrible.
He was terrible, but he's obviously so competitive.
Sportsman. They always do well.
And a sportsman. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be quite interesting to watch.
No. It doesn't matter how rubbish they are to start with, like a Mark Rampakash. Like, they're all rubbish to start with, but no one puts in more time and effort effort than the sportsman. Yeah.
And have you ever watched any of his documentaries where he sort of cycles across America? No, but Jordan loves it. I mean, his mental strength is unbelievable.
But he's got no rhythm, and I just don't think you can teach rhythm.
So that's going to be so interesting. Stiff. Yeah, he was. And I also feel he was so tall.
Yeah.
So quite hard for him.
Did you do a slow dance or a fast dance?
Slow.
I was going to say maybe he'll be better at slow, but.
Yeah.
And did anybody go this week?
No, next week. So no one's, but they're still taking into account the judges' scores from this week, next week during the elimination. Yeah. So.
Did you see Jamie Lang in the audience? It. And when he was watching Kelvin, and Kelvin was really good, his face was like, okay.
Kelvin with Oti reminds me of Danny Matt.
Yes, exactly.
It's a dream team. Oh, it'll be the same.
So I then, after watching it, got into a YouTube hole of watching all my favourite old Strictly ones. And one is Danny and Oti's Samba.
Absolutely
amazing.
One of my faves was the guy from The Wanted, and he did
Jay.
It
Matador.
Jay was incredible. I watched Jay's Jive, I think, as well. Yes. That was on there.
Pulp Fiction one.
Oh my god.
I still think one of my favourites ever was Faye and Giovanni in the show dance, and they did the black and white.
That was incredible. Yeah, that was good.
I watched that like 3 times, I think.
Did you guys watch last week, in lieu of there being an actual Strictly live show, they did like a retrospective with all the professionals and all the judges? Did you watch it? So worth a watch. So it was like an hour show on BBC at like 7 o'clock on Saturday night last week, but you can still obviously get it on catch up. It's basically exactly what we were just doing, like a real retrospective of all the best dances, the funniest moments, the best comments. If you've been into Strictly since the beginning, it's the best walk down memory lane. It's really worth a watch.
It just makes me so excited for Winter Saturdays.
Oh, totally.
Just the joy that they get from learning the routine, and you can tell they're so desperate to hear about what the judge is saying. As you said, I think Motsi is fantastic. Mm. She's so cool.
She had such a nice balance, didn't she? Yeah. She was constructive, but just so kind of cheery and enthusiastic with it.
And it must be really intimidating knowing how, you've got to know where your place is on the judging panel and how to play it. And it's big shoes to fill, obviously, with Darcy gone. So yeah, I agree. I think she'd really
But a bit tricky, I think, judging your own sister. I'm not sure how that will
I guess you judge the celebrity, don't you? It's not often that they actually critique, unless they kind of break the rules. You know, they put in a lift where they're not supposed to. It's not often that the critique is about the dancer, so hopefully they'll just focus on him.
Did you see when they were on Celebrity Gogglebox?
No.
I think it was AT and he had two sisters and she was on that, and it was really fun.
Yeah, they are fun. I think it's a good bit of new life reading to Strictly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of dancing, I watched the Savage X Fenty show on Amazon Prime. So this is Rihanna's lingerie label, which did a presentation, a show at New York Fashion Week 2 weeks ago now. And they basically recorded the entire show, and additionally there's a kind of 10-minute, 15-minute preamble, a bit like the Beyoncé documentary that was on Netflix, documentary in inverted commas, with her show. So there's a kind of 10-minute build-up to kind of what goes into making the show, and then it's the show itself, which lasted half an hour. And for those who didn't see any coverage of it, it basically was, inclusion is kind of the name of the game for Rihanna. So it's a very large collection of lingerie modelled by people of literally all shapes, sizes, colours, creeds, disabilities. I mean, like, there is all the representation in there, and it had mega performers and the choreography. It's basically a dance show. That's kind of how they pitched it. So it's choreographed by a woman called Paris Goebel, who I had never heard of before, but oh my god, it makes Beyonce's show and choreography look like bang average. It's next level what this woman can do.
Wow.
So you get this unbelievable dance show, basically loads of really famous faces. So on top of all the different people who represent diversity, they had Gigi and Cara and Joan Smalls and good famous faces in there. The biggest roar from the house came to Laverne Cox, who is from Orange is the New Black. And yeah, it's obviously kind of positioning itself as the anti-Victoria's Secret. It's the complete antithesis to that. And a lot of the preamble, obviously, it's that kind of, there's a propaganda element to it, because of course they're going to be saying, you know, how fabulous it is, how wonderful it is, but they're basically saying, you know, when the world is going right, Rihanna's going left. She wants to do everything completely differently, just make something different. And it really is a feat, both creatively and in terms of what it signifies as well. And I just really recommend it. It's 50 minutes, brilliant.
So exciting. I have seen a lot of buzz around that.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Can't say I'm that into the lingerie, but
it's not really about that.
Not really about that.
It's the same with Victoria's Secret show. It's not about them.
No, it's not about them. If you can buy those things, I have no idea. But yes, really worth a watch. And like, you know how you came away from the Beyonce documentary being like, oh my God, Beyonce is my queen. I feel a bit like that about Rihanna today.
Mm. I've always felt a bit like that about Rihanna.
Have you?
She's the one person I really think if I saw her, I'd be properly starstruck. Really? And it's not because I like adore her music. I would just find her such a presence.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I would find her quite like, oh.
The thing that comes off in the documentary is like the level of self-belief, like this unbelievable.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, impenetrable film of like, I am untouchable, yeah. I'm amazing, I can do this, which is just so impressive. Yeah.
I saw her in Paris once and it was literally that. We were at Cost and we were just like stood by the door and we saw like all these paparazzi outside. And we were like, oh my God, like so weird, there's so many paparazzi. One who's coming and then this car pulled up and Rihanna walked out and it was literally like, oh my God, it was like she was glowing.
Yeah. I think that's how that's I just Rihanna. Wouldn't be able to take my eyes off her. I honestly think
she's just got a real aura to her.
Completely, yeah.
So anyway, I recommend it. We wrote a feature on the best podcasts for every interest. So whether it's those that make you think, those that make you laugh, or those that make you better informed, we've got the podcast for everybody. So I want to know, what are your favourite podcasts? Obviously, apart from the Shit Likes Pilot podcast, what are the podcasts that you love and listen to? Laura, you're quite a podcast head, aren't you?
I love a podcast. Mm. And actually, this feature included a few of my favourites. But I know we've spoken about it before, but You, Me, and the Big C, I mean, I just can't give this podcast enough praise. I think what they're doing is just so wonderful. And it's got me through some of the darkest days. And then now, whenever I put it on, I just feel like they're kind of like a hug around me and I'll go for a walk. They're just wonderful.
So for those who don't know, they are...
So it started by Rachel Bland, who had breast cancer, and she joined forces with Deborah Janes and Lauren Mahone. And they just spoke about their journey with cancer and what they've learned and how they're coping with it. Really sadly, Rachel died. And so Lauren, Deborah have now taken it on with Steve Bland, Rachel's husband.
He does it with her. With
yeah, them. So he does it with them now. And they're just this trio now. And they've won so many awards. Anyway, what they're doing is just truly wonderful. They're raising awareness and supporting not only patients, but families, I guess, as well, who are, you know, sadly affected by this evil, evil disease.
And do they talk about their stories each week?
How so does they'll it work? Cover everything. So they always start with a bit about how everybody's getting on, and then they will talk to somebody about the palliative care aspect of it, or they might be interviewing with a doctor, or they've been into surgeries, and kind of just talking with the medics as well as talking amongst themselves and how it affects them personally.
I suppose I've always avoided it, for want of a better word, because I've been nervous that it's upsetting or distressing. I mean, presumably it can be at times.
I mean, absolutely it can be, but it's kind of the reality of an awful lot of people. Mm. And what they taught me when I was being affected by it and the palliative care aspect of it was, you know, I will forever feel indebted to these people because they just really prepared me for what was coming up. And I just think the work they're doing is unbelievable.
Wow. God, and so brave.
Yeah.
So brave.
To speak so openly when they're going through that as well. It's just, I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing. And also when you know, I follow them on Instagram as well, and the energy and the drive they have each day, even though they're going through, you know, this awful treatment and it's properly taking it out of them, but they just still keep going. And they really make you think, God, I've got to live for today.
When Lauren came, she came on the Sheila show, and just her energy and positivity was so infectious and just so incredible.
Exactly.
She runs an organisation called Girl V Cancer, and Rich and I were lucky enough to go, I can't remember when this was, maybe earlier in the year, to a photo shoot that they were doing. Mm. They launched a series of charity t-shirts and sweatshirts every year, and she's one of those people who is just like a magnet for people. Everybody just wants to support Lauren and like how amazingly upbeat and jolly she is, and the energy in that room that day was just indescribable. Because she brings in people, and I remember we were talking to a girl who was there, so it was kind of a mix of influencers and celebrities and also people who have been affected by cancer. And we were chatting to a girl who was 23 and had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was like, you know, you sit there in these waiting rooms, and of course I was the only 23-year-old in the waiting room, and I didn't know where to go, I didn't know who to talk to, and somebody pointed me in the direction of Lauren, and everything changed and everything was better. And so I think, as you say, they are, whether you're the one suffering suffering yourself or whether you've got friends and family going through it, they're a crutch for everybody.
Yeah, that is really quite remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to give it a listen. Becky, what about you?
Oh, God, I'm like the one that hangs their head the in shame because you know that I'm sorry, I'm not a big podcast person. And you know what? It's hilarious because I really should be. Like, I love the sort of calming, soothing aspect of it. It's just every time there's an opportunity that I could listen to one, I've always got a book in hand instead. And that's I think this is veering off topic a bit, but I just always kind of seize that moment to just read a book and not be looking at anything really scary or thinking about things. So that's kind of where my mind travels. But I have read this feature and I would be really intrigued to listen to Russell Brand's because, as we all know, he has a hell of a lot of deep layers. And I think that would be very interesting. Yeah. That would be on my, probably out of all of these.
Oh, yeah. So is Russell Brand the one that you recommended, Karamas?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I've downloaded that. I need to listen to it.
So Russell Brand has a podcast called Under the Skin, and he basically, as you say, he's got a lot of feelings, does Russell Brand. Yeah. So he has guests on this podcast and he really delves deeply into kind of emotional issues and dealing with life traumas and events. And I spoke a few months ago about his one with Brené Brown, which is just so brilliant and so worth listening to. But yes, Leo, I recommended to you last week his episode with Karamo from Queer Eye. And again, Karamo is the most amazing person and it's just fascinating.
And I think Russell Brand's so unfiltered that you could get so much from that. Yeah. I just think that would definitely be, maybe it'll convert me to podcast guys.
Yeah.
He says stuff that's quite close to the bone, but
I can imagine.
I find him so irritating.
So did I.
I mean, I say used to, I think I probably still do, but I'm obsessed with Karamo. Everyone deserves a second chance. I'll give it a listen.
Do listen. Lou, what about you? What other podcasts are you into?
I love another one on this list, which is How to Fail with Elizabeth Day.
It's one of my faves too.
I just find her voice so soothing. Like, just read me stories and I could just listen to you forever. But for those that don't know, she discusses the failings in different people's life and essentially the focus that the failures in your life essentially also account to the successes and kind of are a huge part of making up who you are today. So not to just focus on the negatives and essentially that even if something at the time feels like it wasn't where you wanted it to be or it felt like a failure, actually it can account for so much positivity as well. We've discussed so many times before the Mo Gowdat one, which I know, Laura, you're a huge fan of. There's two episodes with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, which are just incredible.
They're the best 2 hours of podcast I've ever listened to.
Particularly the second.
Definitely
loved it.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't say her failures are huge.
Exactly.
But it's more, I think, with them, they're great friends, and the conversation that they have around Fleabag is so interesting.
You can tell they're such good friends.
Yeah, I just find it really, really interesting. It's, again, one of those podcasts that I like to listen to when I know who the people are.
Yeah,
me too, like Desert Island Discs.
But quite often, a bit like Desert Island Discs, I always think it's people that you don't know that kind of surprise you and end up being really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about a few. I had one that was going to be a recommendation in our kind of intro segment on things we're watching and listening to, but I thought I'd save it for this, which is Giles Corran Has No Idea. Disclaimer, I know a lot of people do not like Giles Corran. If you do not like Middle Class Waffle, it's not for you. It's him and his wife, and it is totally two posh people with first world problems. So if you already do not like that kind of thing, don't bother. It's not for you. What I really like about a podcast is just listening to a good conversation, I suppose. So Giles Corran and his wife, Esther, have started a podcast in which he has a weekly article and so not his food review for the Times, but his other article for the Times, his column. And supposedly what happens is he drops the kids at school and it's the day that he has to write his feature and he comes home and his wife has made a cup of coffee and she's been through the papers and they brainstorm about what he could write his column on that week. And apparently they were doing this anyway, so they thought, well, we'll make a podcast out of it. I love it. It's just a couple who are going through, I mean, there's a lot of kind of domestic minutiae in there about cats and bathroom renovations and that kind of thing, but they are both so bright, so acerbic, so quick, so funny, and the banter between, like, they're meant to be, they're a brilliant couple, and the quick banter between them, it's laugh out loud funny, and I don't laugh out loud that easily at a podcast. I just love it. It's half an hour. It's total escapism because it's just, you know, listening to the wittering on about somebody else's life, and it's brilliant. I really love that
because my friend and I discussing the other day how we've kind of listened to so many of these podcasts where you're trying to learn and you're trying to absorb stuff and take stuff away that sometimes you're like, God, is it okay just to be a bit average and not always want to keep bettering yourself. Yes. And I kind of love the fact that you could sit in their kitchen and just almost, you know, listen exactly to their bickering. Not bickering, exactly, but yeah,
no,
yeah,
totally. And you sort of learn something in this. It's not completely unchallenging because, as I say, he's super bright and what they're talking about is really, there's kind of, you know, because they're going through the papers and saying, oh, is this a column? Could this be a feature? Is this an article? Like, you know, it's funny and it's topical. So you're not like, God, this is just dross, but it's lighthearted. And the other one I have to recommend, which is certainly nothing groundbreaking or new, is The Daily from the New York Times, which I do listen to every day. And it is a 20 minute to half an hour podcast that drops like New York Times. I guess it's like midday-ish in the UK. The idea is that it's like for your commute if you live in America. And it is, they take a news story from the previous day and like hone in on it. So it's not a news roundup, it's one story. So that could be like, you know, something that Donald Trump has said. There's been quite a few when Brexit stuff has blown up here. There's been a good few focuses on that. There was one last week on Elizabeth Warren, who is one of the Democratic candidates.
Is it like all a rally political?
She had all political. Well, no, there's a big one on the Amazon and the fires and stuff. But yes, it's okay, obviously from a political slant. So it's like what's being, yes, it's about a kind of headline news feature from that day. So yes, inevitably that is pretty much always political. But it's just a really good way to be better informed about one specific topic as well. They interview the experts about that one thing. And because that one thing is different every day, you feel like you've had quite, by the end of the week, we're like, oh, I'm quite informed on this, this and that. And I'm feeling really informed on particularly the Democrats' election campaigns so far over in the States. So yeah, as I say, it's a bit more American, but it's a really good way to just feel a bit more engaged in only 20 minutes. So
yeah. Oh, bite-sized,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, if you are looking for even more podcast recommendations, I mean, there are loads on this list. Things that make you think include Happy Place by Fern Cotton and Griefcast. There are more funny ones, Dear Joan and Jerrica. That's the one that the Hilo, they always rave about. Ooh. So definitely worth a listen to. And Amy Schumer presents Three Girls, One Key, which I need to listen to. I love Amy Schumer. Yeah. So do have a look at the piece on the site.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, next up we're going to talk about the best places to live in London. We ran a feature because it was announced that the Isle of Dogs is the best place to live in London. This is based on everything from proximity to good outside spaces, transport connections, etc., etc. Okay, so first up is the Isle of Dogs, and then closely followed by Battersea. Number three is Belgravia. Number four, Bermondsey. Number five, Blackheath. Six, Crystal Palace. Seven, East Finchley. Eight, Highbury. Nine, Leighton. And 10, Teddington. That is the list as described by the Sunday Times. So I want to know, would everyone like to make a case for their bit of London? Lou, talk to us about Herne Hill.
So Herne Hill, we lived in the sort of Clapham Battersea border for about 7 years and adored Battersea, and the convenience of Clapham was obviously amazing, but just a little bit too busy for us. So we moved out towards Herne Hill. Originally we were looking at East Dulwich, which is kind of got so many amazing, along Lordship Lane, there's loads of amazing restaurants, bars, cafes, little shops. There's the Pitch House Cinema, loads going on. But we actually settled in Herne Hill, which at first I was a bit like, oh, East Dulwich, would rather there. But it has been so amazing and I would not change anything.
They're pretty close, right? East Dulwich.
They're really close. Yeah. They're about 10 minutes away. And Herne Hill has the connection links for the centre of London. So it is a 10-minute train into Victoria, and then pretty much London is your oyster. And it's then 5 minutes to Brixton, so you can get the tube if you need to, and then 5 minutes into Dulwich Village, again, which is sort of so beautiful. Brockwell Park is basically on our doorstep, which A, is a really beautiful space. It also has the open-air Lido. They have loads of live music events and festivals there, and they have a market every Sunday with loads of fresh produce and local sellers. one of my favourite restaurants. Llewellyn's is there. And I literally, I just think it's such an amazing place to live. It's got the perfect balance of being able to get into London and do stuff and have kind of nice things on your doorstep. But equally, it's very quiet and calm and, you know, amazing space if you want to start thinking about a family. So yeah, I love it.
Would you look elsewhere?
Yeah, I think originally we thought it was kind of we'd only be there for a while. And actually now we've been there, I can definitely see us nesting there. The area is kind of only getting better and better. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really exciting.
What zone is it?
It's zone 2.
Okay, so you're still pretty central.
Exactly. And I think you're kind of close enough to Brixton, but probably without the prices of Brixton or Dulwich as well. So it's kind of a nice in between.
All I'd say is I feel like that's for now. I feel like it's quite hot.
I know. So
it?
I feel like we've done well.
Yeah.
So we bought nearly 2 years ago. So yeah.
Hopefully you made a sweet little extra on that. Laura, you're obviously in Wandsworth. Tell us about it.
What can I tell you about it? I love it. I mean, I've either lived in Clapham or Wandsworth since I've lived in London. And for me, when I first moved to London, it was all about having access to transport links. That's just not so, maybe the older I get, I don't know, but it's not such a huge thing for us. When we last moved, it was more schools.
Well, and also you're lucky enough not to have to travel into central London for work.
I do, but my husband does.
Right, sure.
But for us, it was more about getting into good catchment areas and trying to find the balance of getting a little bit more space. But equally, I guess being still near our friends was, you know, a big thing for us. And then we're so lucky we're surrounded by parks around here, not far from the river. I just love it. And not too far to get into central London when needs be.
Also zone 2 here.
Zone 2, exactly. And I can walk to work. So yeah, happy days.
That's the ultimate
pull. That's the biggest bonus.
Isn't it? All right, well, I will make the case for West Ham. That I grew up in North London, so I just wouldn't cross the river. I felt like you were either north, you probably also would never move north of the river. I think if you know your area and you kind of settle there, don't you? So I'm in West Ham, which has the best transport links anywhere in London. I just maintain it is because we've got the Thames Link, the Overground and the Underground. So that is like unbeatable. So literally I could wax lyrical about it. I could be at Baker Street in 8 minutes, but at the same time I can get the train straight to Clapham Junction on the Overground here, or I
can actually get the train to Hunt Hill as well. We've also got the Thames Link.
Thames Link, amazing, which takes you straight to Gatwick and straight to Luton. Like, it really is so well connected. It does make it quite busy, particularly in the morning, because everybody's getting off all those trains to change at the other. So it's a busy interchange. But also we've got a lovely farmer's market, which also makes Saturdays so nice, but it's still got that really kind of villagey feel. There's no chain, well, towards the station on the main high street on West End Lane, there's a kind of a Costa and a Starbucks, but actually the majority of the high street, there's a Gales, but I don't count that as a chain.
No,
it's Gales. Yeah, it's pretty independent. We've got the lovely Hampstead Butcher, there's a great bagel shop. It's really lovely.
Do you think it's sort of quite young couples, or is it family?
It's mostly young families. We're probably a little young for it, but that's perfect for me, because it means that we'll just stay. I don't see why we'd ever go anywhere else. Like, I'd love to live in maybe a Queen's Park or Kensal Rise, but actually in terms of tube connections, West Hampstead trumps them easily. So yeah, as long as our careers continue to demand train travel, then I think that, you know, it's, we'd why probably be silly to leave the area. It's also zone 2, which is great. And again, not far from great schools, and there are parks, and yeah, there's kind of not anything really to not love about it. Well, I'm feeling really passionate having some.
I was going to say, it's getting quite competitive.
It's so nice as well to love the area that you live in.
Yes. I didn't love the area I grew up in, and it was right for my parents, but it wasn't right for me as a teenager, or for who, I don't know whether it's who I am as a person or generally teenagers. And I still am not over the novelty of living somewhere that really feels like me.
Exciting.
Because you can grow up living somewhere that is right for your parents, but it doesn't mean it's the right place for you.
Yeah.
And this is the right place for me. And yeah, that's still a novelty.
It's also so nice on the weekend to feel like you're happy just kind of residing in where you live, rather than feeling like you've got to travel to go somewhere else to sort of be in another little area. And that's the same with us. It kind of feels like a little village, and I'm always be like, oh yeah, I just want to like be at home this weekend and kind of have a little wander around.
Exactly the same. I love that we can walk to Hampstead High Street, or we'll go and get a Gales and then we'll pick up nice cheeses. I mean, it's just lovely. It's lovely being able to potter around your own high street. And where I grew up, you had to drive to get anywhere, which as I say, great for my parents. They wanted more outdoor space, but I give a shit about that. Okay, that's those of us who have chosen to live in London. Becky, you obviously live in Brighton.
So I do. I live in Brighton, and Brighton is literally my heart. And Harry and I are going to move to London for a bit. We are looking around this area, mainly because Harry's in Brixton, but also the biggest pull is it is on mainline back to Brighton. And I think we're both aware that that is home. That is where we're going to end up when we kind of settle properly. But also, I would like to make a case for South Ealing.
Go for it.
My brother lives there, and honestly, I love it. Like, I have spent like long stints there when there's been train strikes or anything like that. And it is the perfect mix of leafy and city. You can get in anywhere within 30 minutes. And they're also bringing in the new Elizabeth line, which means you will honestly be able to get anywhere with very high speed. So I think if you're looking for somewhere new or you want a bit of best of both, I could make a real case for South Ealing. It's beautiful.
I think any of that kind of really west area. I was driving through Shepherd's Bush the other day and I was saying my mum grew up in Ealing and I was trying to explain to her what it's like. I was in that little intersection between Wood Green and White City stations and I was like, mum, you just won't believe it. And you know, even if you're in Hanger Lane, like any of those western areas,
anywhere around there,
there's now so many amazing things in Shepherd's Bush and White City.
And actually, if you really look, you can find things that aren't going to cost, I mean, it's obviously still expensive, but it's not like gulp expensive. I mean, my brother is currently looking and you know they're quite serious about it and it is doable for them, but it is a good area to explore. 100%.
Noted, thanks. If you could live anywhere else in London, where would you choose?
Richmond, really nice. Or every time I go to Hampstead, Charlotte, I just think it's so beautiful around there.
Laura?
I go Richmond, by the river. I actually grew up there when I was much younger. And every time I go back, I just think, oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, lovely.
Okay, well, for more information on the locations that were voted the best places to live in London, then have a look at the piece on the site. And let us know the defence for your area. we'd all be keen to know, particularly Becky, looking to make the move. Maybe you've got some recommendations.
Hit me up.
Okay, well, autumn is officially upon us. And I know, particularly for the fashion team, that has meant some wardrobe clear outs. And so in light of that, we wrote a feature about everything you need to know about selling your clothes online, because whether it's to fund new autumnal purchases or just to get a little bit of breathing space in your wardrobes, it's really worth doing. So I want to know, has anyone here ever sold things online?
Do you know what? I absolutely love this piece because I have always wanted to sell clothes online and I've always only just sort of eBay. And this has thrown up so many different suggestions that I'd genuinely never heard of. It's like I've been living under a rock. Like, I'd never heard of Depop before.
What? You're young as well. I thought all young people knew Depop.
Well, honestly, it has, and it's really inspired me to do it, because what I usually do is pack things up and I take it to a charity shop or I will attempt eBay, but I find eBay quite clunky. So for me, I will be having a clear out at the weekend, because I just think there is a sort of stigma around selling your clothes online that it is quite a clumpy process, but actually this shows it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I think eBay can be a bit of a faff personally. You kind of throwing more things into this sea of things and hoping that someone bites almost on you.
Exactly.
And Depop is amazing because it acts like a social network, so you basically have a profile, you upload your clothes, and I like that you can kind of almost use it like an Instagram. You can upload yourself in the clothes. I feel like that always makes things a little bit more enticing to buy. And as you were saying about the charity, I think one of the reasons that we chose to write this piece is because obviously it's really easy to take a load of stuff to the charity shop, but actually all the reports today say that's just kind of contributing to the landfill and the excess waste.
Exactly.
More so at least if you can kind of find a home for your pieces, then that's better.
I agree, but I actually did a bit of a clear out yesterday. Not a huge one, but I took quite a bit of stuff to the charity shop yesterday, and this charity shop was heaving. I mean, honestly, I could buying stuff, I could barely get through the door with my bag of stuff, because there were so many people in there buying stuff.
There's also something so satisfying when you drop stuff at the charity shop and then you see your bits in the window. And Lewis has got something where he's like signed up for a notification, so when something gets sold, he'll get a notification to say that whatever you have given, how much money they've made from that product. So he got an email. He got an email to say like, we've made £78 from your donation.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's not so nice.
Do you know what it's called?
No, I need to find out.
Okay, we'll put it in the notes for the podcast.
That's nice.
Love that.
Yeah, so good.
That is so good.
Yeah, I really like that.
Okay. Laura, have you ever sold products online?
No, my husband is very good at eBay, to the point that he goes through waves. I mean, you've got to watch out because he might sell you. I mean, he literally goes around the house taking photos of everything. I get to the point, I try to do it, but then I'm just a bit like, you know, we live in not a huge house with children, and I just, it all gets a bit on top of me and I just want it out of my house. So my patience isn't great, but something I'm working on. But he's very good at it. And Gumtree, he'll sell stuff on Gumtree too.
When I was redecorating my flat, actually, I sold loads on Gumtree. It's really good if you do just want to kind of get rid in the next few days.
The variation of product on Gumtree is absolutely insane. The things that people think other people want, but I guess they do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've sold loads. In fact, I'd say Gumtree has been much more successful for us than eBay.
Well, because I feel like Gumtree is, it's best for your local area. Yeah, so completely. I had a sofa with a big stain on it, like just a chocolate stain, but we tried to give it to charity. They came to pick it up and they wouldn't accept it with a stain on it, and we just needed to get rid, and somebody came like the next day from Gumtree to just pick it up and take it away. And I feel like with eBay you can't do that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work as quickly as that.
There's also something quite nice about someone coming to your house and picking it up, knowing who's taking it.
Not having to like
package it up, go down to the post office, sort out delivery, like all of that.
Yeah. It feels a bit more kind of back to basic. It's less kind of cynical internet stuff.
Yeah. Just local community. Yeah. Like that's, it's so nice.
Exactly. Lou, do you ever sell things on the internet?
So I used to be, like you guys, really into eBay, but now I literally have a huge bag of things that I need to sort out and get rid of. And just the thought of uploading loads of photos on eBay, putting all the details in, putting all the postage, sorting, like it's just too much.
It's another job in itself.
Exactly. So I actually downloaded Depop on the weekend, so I'm going to trial it out.
But I'm the same. I did a big clear out, which I think I've mentioned at the very beginning of the season. Yeah, like 4 weeks ago. And on top of all the stuff that went to charity, I've got like a whole other separate thing for Depop, which again is like the plan. But I still have yet to find.
I know.
Like, and also, particularly if you want to try it all on, I'm like, oh, I need to do it when I've got some makeup on. I don't know. It's like a whole other activity.
Maybe we should do like a Sheerlux bring and buy sale.
That's a good idea.
Everyone would have stuff that they want to trade in.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I was going to say, can I have a riflery for you?
It's all yours. Do you ever use Vestia?
No, I don't. And I've often looked at Vestia, and I think I've been a bit put off by the seller fees. Mm-hmm. But when we had Lindsay and Lizzie in a couple of weeks ago, they said that they have adjusted their seller fees now. So I need to look into it again, because I think if you're maybe selling slightly higher price point items, then that is the place to go. I get the impression that Depop is a little bit more high street bits and bobs. So yeah, definitely something to look into. But I just need some time. I need to like take a week off just to do like a wardrobe cleanse, a clear out, sell stuff, get some online, take some pictures.
Actually, maybe that's a good Christmas job. I keep like stressing myself out, but maybe I'll save it for those days in between Christmas and New when you don't really know what to do with yourself. Yeah.
Often I find though, when I've got a bag of bits, I'll be like, oh, well, I might wear that. Uh-huh. Yeah, it could be quite nice. And often if you put stuff away and then you come back to it in a couple of months, it's almost like
new stuff.
You're wearing that's a wardrobe again. So I kind of separate my wardrobe out sometimes, and I've got some bits back home, and when I then go back home to Bristol, I'm like, ooh, I haven't worn this in a while.
It's like so shopping.
It's quite a nice treat sometimes. Yeah. But as you said, sometimes you just need to get rid of it. So you take it down to the charity shop and never to be seen again.
Well, Vestia Collective has, as of like last week, introduced peer-to-peer selling. So in the past, it used to be quite a slow process because you'd have to like send the product to them. They would authenticate it, which is obviously a good thing. But now you can choose to just buy or sell directly, which is what Depop is. And you kind of deal with the shipping yourself.
So how do they manage that with the
authentication? Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm guessing you only do it if you're like, this doesn't need like check. You know, if you've got something that's got the dust bag and the thing, I guess maybe that's sort of your own risk. Right. But you know, or if you're buying a jacket, the chances of a jacket being a fake are probably quite slim. Yeah, so maybe it just depends what you're buying. But I quite like the idea that you can now do that. That might streamline the process a little bit. I've used Vestia loads, and actually the app is really useful. It's still, you still have to kind of G yourself up to do your uploading, but actually it's a very, very user-friendly.
Yeah.
Like you take your photo and you tick your button and you're, it is pretty simple. So I do recommend it. And also if you've got something that is kind of more of a hot product, I sold a Louis Vuitton Neverfull in half an hour.
Like
if you put things over price, they will sell quickly.
So. Also, I think if there's something that you know that you want, then Vestia is the place for that. So, you know, if you don't want to buy, you know, the latest it bag you're after, but you just don't want to buy full price, then I think you can set your notifications. So I've actually set a couple of designers and categories that I know I'm always going to love. And as the product goes live, I get an email notification of those new products, which obviously can be pretty dangerous, but it's just kind of good.
You've got to act fast.
But I think in that instance, if there's something that you know you want, then it's a really good source for that.
Exactly. Okay, well, for more tips on how to sell your products online and also which are the best platforms to go to, then have a look at the piece on the site. Finally, we're going to talk about boot trends. Autumn's here. So happy about it. And we wrote a feature on all the different boot trends that you need for the season ahead. So that included everything from everyday bikers to Western styles to the ones that I know I'm coveting, which are the knee-high leather boots. So I want to know, what boots are you going to be buying for autumn? Laura, if you could buy one pair, what would you be going for?
So I have this real thing that when hiking boots became a thing, how many years ago? Three, four years ago? I saw this girl looking so amazing in the See by Chloe ones.
How many years in a row have I been banging on about the See My Clarity ones.
And they went into the sale literally on the hottest day of the year this year. And I was like, should I get them? It just felt so outrageous and I didn't get them.
It is literally killing me.
Oh,
they're so good.
I know. Oh, I wish I'd done it. Anyway,
they've gone.
I know. They're the best.
Get on Vestiaire. You might find them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in that future, Becky. I think they are.
I mean, they're fluffy and warm and cozy, but I just...
Yeah.
Look, we're in for a cold winter, apparently.
I know.
I think they'd be worth an investment.
Yeah, I agree. Lou?
I mean, boot season is my favourite time of the year. But to be fair, I tend to wear boots all year round.
You have an excellent boot collection, actually.
Thank you. I've worked hard over the last couple of years to build it up. So pretty much I tick every single box on this list. The ones on my current wish list are a pair of Saint Laurent. I pretty much would take any of them. There's a pair of black leather, kind of pointy. They've got a little buckle around the heel, which is super cool. And then also their suede western ones are just so cool. And again, the thing I love about a boot, and I think it's kind of intrinsic with my style, is that you can literally just wear a t-shirt and jeans or a really plain jumper and just wear a pair of boots, and they elevate an outfit for me. And also with boots, you can get a totally manageable heel height, which you can walk around in all day. I'm not so keen on a flat boot. I like a sort of maybe a 3-inch heel just to give you a bit of height, and I literally love them so much.
They're just really expensive, unfortunately.
I know.
Becky?
Do you know what? I am really in the market for some white boots. Oh. Really in the market for some white boots, just because I only own black and navy and I'm just a bit over it. But I would quite like a western boot because I quite like chunky. I'm little, so I feel like chunky's a bit of a vibe. So that is what I will be coveting for autumn.
I do feel like this season's western ones as well, they're less cowboy-y and they're more western, which is a really good... It's like they're more of that Isabel Marant style.
Yeah.
And it's a really easy way to kind of nod to the trend to feel up to date, but without like wearing a cowboy boot.
Exactly. And they're not uber pointy either, because I'm not into a major point.
So no, there's definitely like a hybrid between the two. Like, you don't want it too round
either. There's a fine line. So I feel like there's a lot to shop this season.
There are. Well, I'm definitely going to be buying a pair of knee-high boots. I've been, the Gianvito ones, sadly, will not be part of my repertoire this season. But anything based on that style, Mango have some great selections. Charles and Keith have some great ones as well, if you want something a bit more out there. And we were admiring a Reese pair actually last week as well. There are loads around.
Okay, actually, you've got some really good knee-high leather boots as well. And I think they are probably something that you can spend a little bit more money on. I was reading an article in Sunday Times Star, I think it was in last week's Sunday Times Star, with Krista D'Souza, and she was talking about the appeal of the knee-high boot, and sort of because they like cover your skin, but the skin underneath it is sort of alluding to that like sexy vampy, and how you can basically look cool and not like vampy, or like you're going show jumping as well. Like slowing your vampy, basically. Yeah. Like how you get the look in between.
It must have a heel, that's key.
Exactly.
Yeah, no flats, sadly. I think if you're going to spend good money on them, you have to be prepared that they might not be on trend next season, but they will come back at some point. Yeah. Like, I know my mum bought a pair 10 years ago. She probably hasn't worn them that much in the interim, but now she's excited and she can wear them again this season. So if you are investing, unfortunately, the look kind of comes and goes. They've got a very round toe this season, which hasn't really been around for a while. It's been a lot more about a point over the last few seasons, but they do always come back.
Can you tell us how you'll be styling them?
I'm really anti-trousers, jeans with a long boot. I think it doesn't even matter how cool you are, how stylish you are. It needs to be a dress.
Well, also, what's the point? Because then you're just covering the whole
I
don't agree.
No, not for me. Sorry. I think you can either go, we keep talking about the bourgeois trend. We're going to write a feature on it in the next few weeks. It's that kind of new Celine vibe, that kind of quite prim, pretty, you know, it's like a chain printed skirt with like a pussy bow blouse. Mm. There's that vibe. Or you can go, like, I've got a great jumper dress from last year, like a really oversized cream jumper dress that will look so good with like a burgundy pair of those boots.
And I think if you aren't sort of a jeans and trousers girl, if you feel more comfortable in skirts and dresses, then this is the trend for you.
Absolutely.
Because they look so good together, especially if you don't like tights as well, but you want to stay warm.
Yeah.
You can cover. And I think the sort of the straight to the knee style, all there's that like slouchy, slightly more relaxed look, which is so cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not a cheap trend. Even the high street versions are over £100. Yeah. But as you say, if you wear dresses and skirts, then much cooler than an ankle boot.
I was going to say, for this season, it's a way to kind of keep it a bit updated.
Exactly.
Edgy.
So anyway, if you do want more recommendations, we ran a feature in association with Net-a-Porter. So those are obviously on the more investment side, but I'm sure we'll have plenty more boots roundups coming up over the next few weeks. All right, I think that's just about all we've got time for today. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.